Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Carnegie Corporation of New York, working to reduce political polarization through philanthropic support for education, democracy, and peace. More information at carnegie.org. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Riverette Print and Skate, a source for custom promotional products such as T-shirts, stickers, and more. Available to discuss print projects at its North Lawrence location. Quotes online at riverettks.com.
A tornado watch till 11 o'clock tonight for Allen, Chase, Greenwood, Neosho, Wilson, and Woodson counties. It's 84 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 6:06.
This is...
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 91.3 FM in Junction City. We are always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Flint Hills Discovery Center in Manhattan, Kansas, hosting the Flint Hills Festival, Saturday, May 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., featuring live entertainment, vendors, children's activities, and more. Details at flinthillsdiscovery.org.
Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. We will get you an update of news headlines in approximately 12 minutes. It's going to happen at 6:30. Then we'll learn more about the GI Rights Hotline, where a lot of U.S. service members have been calling in anonymously to talk about their options for discharge. We will also do a bit of a deep dive on the alleged big tax refund bump so many people expected to get this year. It's kind of complicated, but Stephen Bisaha is on the case. We'll tell you all about it coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health Primary Care, providing care for patients at every stage of life across northeastern Kansas. More information at lmh.org/primary.
You have a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. Lows in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain in the morning. 50% chance of showers and storms tomorrow afternoon with highs in the upper 70s. There is a tornado watch in effect until 11 o'clock tonight for the southernmost tier of the KPR-covered counties. Allen, Chase, Greenwood, Neosho, Wilson, and Woodson counties. So be sure down in Cottonwood Falls and Chanute that you have multiple ways to be notified if any warnings are issued tonight. It's 6:20.
Support for...
This is NPR News.
Dave Chappelle is the new landlord for his local NPR member station in Ohio. He says he wants to support honest journalism, so we asked him to be honest about why he performed in a country that jails and even kills its critics.
I can make a million excuses or reasons to deprive that crowd of that show, but man, when I was standing in front of them, I feel like I did the right thing.
Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
That interview with Dave Chappelle, plus the latest national, international, and regional news coming your way tomorrow morning on your KPR stations, both KPR 1 and KPR 2. Your local host will be Matthew Algio.
Support for KPR comes from the KC Civic Orchestra presenting Musical Paradise, featuring UMKC choirs and Village Presbyterian Chorus, April 26th at 3 p.m. at Hellsburg Hall. Open to the public. More at kccivic.org.
News headlines are coming your way in just about 30 seconds. It is 6:30. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Well, stocks rallied, finishing higher as crude oil prices came down a bit today. Investors turning their attention back to corporate earnings. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Officials are starting to get a better idea of the damage caused by Monday night storms across eastern Kansas. A survey team from the National Weather Service in Kansas City at Pleasant Hill says it was an EF2 tornado that left behind damage in Franklin and Miami counties, specifically in the Ottawa and Hillsdale areas. KSHB-TV is reporting that some 50 homes sustained damage around Hillsdale Lake in Miami County. Kansas native Jake Steele will serve as the state's next education commissioner. The Kansas State Board of Education today named Steele as the replacement for outgoing Commissioner Randy Watson. His term will begin on June 1st. Steele is currently the Director of Strategy and Operational Alignment at the Kansas Department of Education. The job brought him back to Kansas about 4 years ago.
I have amazing stories from all over the state, from Dighton to Hugoton to Lenexa, all of these places and memories. And I hope and I'm grateful for the opportunity to continue to help them in their world.
Steele will oversee the State Education Department's daily operations and execute policies enacted by the Kansas Board of Education. Board member Michelle Dombrowski was the sole vote against Steele's selection. Two other board members did not vote. The Kansas Court of Appeals heard cases at five different colleges across the state today. As Statehouse reporter Zach Boblett learned, the goal was to give all Kansans a glimpse into the legal system.
The traveling court came to Highland, a northeast Kansas town with a population of less than 1,000 people. Judges walked on stage at Highland Community College's Culbertson Auditorium, a venue that typically stages plays, musicals, and graduations. On Tuesday, students heard court cases involving drugs and car accidents. After the hearings, judges fielded questions. What's a typical work week like? Why do judges accent their robes differently? Etc. Judge Karen Arnold Berger says students considering a legal career can always ask current lawyers.
I don't know of anybody that would say no. We love what we do, so we like sharing.
Chief Judge Sarah Warner agreed, saying, "We are talkers." In Highland, I'm Zach Boblett.
A tornado watch is in effect until 11 p.m. for Allen, Chase, Greenwood, Neosho, Wilson, and Woodson counties. Elsewhere, a 50% chance of rain overnight. It's 6:35.
Support for This Is All Things Considered from NPR News.
At Morning Edition, we bring you as close to the news as possible.
We saw Iran launch a missile with a dangerous cluster bomb warhead that hit an apartment building here in Tel Aviv, just a few minutes' drive from me in Tel Aviv.
Join us for on-the-ground reporting and stay informed about the biggest global and national stories every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us for Morning Edition on Kansas Public Radio, 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow. Matthew Algio will have your local news. It's a great way to start your day in an informed way.
Support for KPR comes from Security Benefit, with six decades of experience helping customers align their assets with their retirement aspirations. Details on products, careers, and company legacy at securitybenefit.com.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence as well, and many other non-Lawrence-based locations. You will find a complete listing of all of our frequencies at kansaspublicradio.org. Plus, you can stream us. Both our KPR1 and KPR2 streams available at kansaspublicradio.org.
KPR listeners are engaged in their communities and they frequent businesses that support public radio. Become a KPR sponsor and reach those most likely to take action at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
A tornado watch in effect until 11 o'clock tonight for Allen, Chase, Greenwood, Neosho, Wilson, and Woodson counties. That includes Cottonwood Falls and Chanute. Conditions good for the development of tornadoes, so stay alert, stay weather aware. Be sure you have multiple ways to be notified if any warnings are issued. Elsewhere in the KPR listening area, 50% chance of showers and storms tonight, lows in the lower 60s. It's 10 minutes before 7.
Comedian Dave Chappelle on digging deep to invest in his hometown and telling jokes that sting. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
That interview with Dave Chappelle, plus the latest national, international, and regional news, you'll find it on Morning Edition tomorrow on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Up next, we have news headlines. That will be followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music on your KPR stations, followed at 9 o'clock by Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from Sue Liss Auctions, presenting international works of art and cultural artifacts from the estate of a Kansas collector who moved to Tokyo, Japan in 1978. Details at MidwestArtAuction.com.
There's a tornado watch in effect until 11 o'clock tonight for Allen, Chase, Greenwood, Neosho, Wilson, and Woodson counties. That includes Cottonwood Falls and Eureka and Chanute. Make sure you have multiple ways to receive warnings. We're not expecting things to really kick off, if they kick off at all, until about 9 o'clock. But be alert. Stay alert throughout the overnight hours. We will keep you up to date with what we know. There is a 50% chance of showers and storms elsewhere throughout the KPR listening area tonight, and we're expecting a low in the lower 60s. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Facing explicit allegations of sexual misconduct, two members of Congress have announced they're resigning. California Democrat Eric Swalwell faced accusations from multiple women, one who stepped forward today charging he had drugged and raped her 8 years ago, which Swalwell denies. Former California Congresswoman Jackie Speier says it's a big problem.
What is really fair is to ask the question, why didn't these women feel that they would have the protection they needed to come forward? I mean, I presume it's because they were fearful of retaliation or being ostracized from getting another job on the Hill. But that's what I'm calling on my former colleagues in Congress to do. Find out why they didn't think that they would be protected enough.
Also leaving Congress early, Texas Republican Tony Gonzalez, after admitting to an affair with a staff member who later died by suicide. A central tool in America's intelligence apparatus will expire next week if Congress fails to renew it. NPR's Eric McDaniel explains.
Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act allows the government to collect the electronic communications of foreign nationals located outside of the United States without a warrant. And according to the government, the trove of information collected through the program informs a huge portion of the president's daily intelligence briefing. Sometimes, though, the surveillance targets communicate with Americans, and some lawmakers of both parties want to require a targeted court order before the government can peruse those specific calls, texts, and emails. The government says that reform would hamstring surveillance and jeopardize national security, and that process reforms enacted in the last few years are already leading to dramatically fewer searches. Eric McDaniel, NPR News, Washington.
United Nations experts are calling for an end to Israeli attacks on Gaza shelters and the forced displacement of Palestinians in the West Bank. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports attention to these areas has fallen off amidst the new Israeli-U.S. war against Iran and Hezbollah in Lebanon.
The UN experts express grave concern over what they say are continued military attacks affecting sites sheltering displaced Palestinians in Gaza City and forced displacement in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem. They say the aim of the cycle of displacement, terror, and targeted attacks is to make life unbearable for Palestinians and to permanently force them from their land. Their report cites an airstrike last month in western Gaza City that set fire to tents sheltering internally displaced people. 36,000 Palestinians have also been forcibly displaced amid expanding illegal settlement activity and intensifying violence in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
On Wall Street at the close, the S&P 500 gained 81 points. The Dow closed up 317, closing at 48,535. This is NPR.
Stardate, April 14th. Astronomers love star clusters. All the stars in a cluster were born at the same time from the same cloud of gas and dust. So any differences in the stars are the result of their evolution, which is a result of their mass. That makes it easier to learn what's going on inside the stars. One problem, though, is identifying which stars belong to a cluster. It takes detailed measurements of motion and brightness to separate members of the cluster from stars that just happen to line up in the same direction. An example is the Coma star cluster in Coma Berenices. The constellation is in the east at nightfall. Under dark skies, the cluster is a good target for binoculars. The cluster is about 280 light years away, but it spans dozens of light years, so its stars are spread out. That makes it harder to pick out its members, and it takes big telescopes to pick out its fainter stars. So despite decades of study, astronomers are still locking down the census of stars in the Coma cluster. A study about a decade ago confirmed 8 small, faint members. the first of their kind known to belong to the cluster. And another study found that about a quarter of the stars in the cluster are binary or multi-star systems. These discoveries bring the total number of stars in the Coma Cluster to several dozen, with a few dozen more possibilities, members of a widespread stellar family. More about Coma Berenices tomorrow. We have more sky-watching tips in Stardate Magazine, details at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Good evening. It's classical music on a Tuesday evening. I'm Steve Seal. We're going to enjoy music of Haydn for string quartet later on. The father of the string quartet, Haydn was, often referred to as the father of the symphony. Not entirely accurate, but he did invent the form of the string quartet in one of his many quartets later on. Cockaigne was a term used by, I suppose, kind of shaming moralists in the 19th century primarily, as a metaphor for gluttony and drunkenness in Britain. And the English adopted the name humorously and kind of fondly for London. Londoners would refer to their hometown as Cockaigne. And Elgar wrote this piece of music in honor of that cheerful spirit, the Cockaigne Overture, alternate title, In London Town. Thank you. Kane Overture, subtitled In London Town by Sir Edward Elgar. That being a word that was used to fondly describe Old London by Londoners and the British back in the day. Cockaigne. The Royal Philharmonic, conducted by Yehudi Menuhin.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Kansas City Zoo and Aquarium, offering Friends of the Zoo memberships, providing admission to the zoo for an entire year. Membership supports the zoo's conservation fund, preserving wildlife around the world. More at kansascityzoo.org. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Casey Farm School, stewarding 14 acres of urban land in Kansas City, Kansas, that provides plants and food through their spring plant sales and weekly CSA and Farm Stop. Details at caseyfarmschool.org.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 84 and fair. Wind is from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the low 60s. Wind will be from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 84 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
From Leo de Livre, The Maids of Cadiz, a song by de Livre, but arranged here for trumpet and orchestra, and it's Tynting Helseth playing the trumpet with the Royal Liverpool Phil, led by Eivind Adland. Tynting Helseth, trumpet with the Maids of Cadiz by Leo de Livre. Mein Hut, der Hat, Dreiecken. My hat, it has three corners. That would not be the song that is at the core of The Three-Cornered Hat by Manuel de Falla. That's another song altogether. But The Three-Cornered Hat, the ballet, with the music given by Manuel de Falla in the early years of the 20th century, would go on to be one of de Falla's better-known works, and the suite of themes drawn from that ballet played here by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Fritz Reiner.
Thank you.
the suite from the ballet The Three-Cornered Hat by Manuel de Falla, the Schuka Fritz Reiner.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Theodore Lawrence, presenting Dial M for Murder, a noir-inspired suspenseful thriller, showing April 17th through 18th and 23rd through 26th. Ticket information and more at theodorelawrence.com. And the University of Kansas, creating the future one discovery at a time. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 82 and fair. Wind is from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the low 60s. Wind will be from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 82 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
String Quartet number 32 by Franz Josef Haydn, played by the Kodály Quartet.
Thank you. Thank you.
String Quartet number 32 by Franz Joseph Haydn, known as the Bird, his Bird Quartet, played there by the Kodai String Quartet. I'm Steve Seal.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lore 15, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute FM 90.3, and online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 82 and fair. Wind is from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the low 60s. Wind will be from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 82 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Thank you. When in life is the right time to change your name, if you're going to do that? I'm not talking about changing your last name upon marriage. That's another thing. I mean, say your first name. Well, ideally, the younger the better. When you try to change your name when you're older than 50, for example, everybody thinks you're insane. Well, believe it or not, this whole point actually has a tie-in to this music by Brahms. And I'm going to make you wait to find out what my crazy segue is, as we enjoy Brahms' Variations on a Theme by Haydn coming up this evening.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. The U.S. military says no ships have evaded its blockade of Iranian ports. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports a dozen U.S. warships and more than 100 aircraft have been enforcing the naval blockade that began Monday morning.
U.S. Central Command states on social media that no vessels headed to or from Iran have passed the Strait of Hormuz since the American blockade began, and that six merchant ships had obeyed U.S. orders to return back to Iranian ports. CENTCOM says the blockade will be enforced against any nation's ships and allows free navigation in and out of the Persian Gulf, except for Iranian ports. Iran, for its part, has effectively blocked any other commerce through the strait for weeks, with the mere threat of Iranian mines and drone attacks keeping all but a trickle of shipping anchored in the Gulf. Iran has charged a few ships millions of dollars for safe passage. Now, the U.S. blockade will likely end that practice. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
In Washington, the D.C. Court of Appeals has blocked an effort to investigate former Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, as well as other top Trump officials, for possible criminal contempt. NPR's Jimena Bustillo reports.
The appeals panel ruled 2-1 that District Judge James Boasberg's attempt to probe the executive branch is a, quote, clear abuse of discretion. Two Trump appointees ruled against Boasberg's contempt investigation. The third judge on the panel, an appointee of former President Joe Biden, dissented, saying the panel's decision would hurt the future of all federal judges to hold the executive branch to account. Judge Boasberg sought to investigate the administration after he said it defied his orders not to proceed with deportation flights to El Salvador. This is the second time in this case that the courts have blocked any attempt to investigate the Trump administration for contempt. Jimena Bustillo, NPR News, Washington.
The U.S. is experiencing a resurgence of measles with more than 1,700 confirmed cases so far this year. Now a new study finds that rising measles cases come with significant human and economic costs. NPR's Maria Godoy has that story.
Last year, the U.S. confirmed 2,287 measles cases, the highest number in decades. In a new modeling study, researchers at Yale estimated that responding to those cases cost the country some $244 million. The average cost per case was more than $104,000. The researchers also found that even a small 1% drop in measles vaccination rates could result in more than 4,000 hospitalizations and 36 preventable deaths from measles each year. That 1% drop in vaccinations would also cost the nation an additional $1.5 billion per year between now and the year 2030 in related health costs. The findings appear in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Maria Godoy, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow closed up 317. This is NPR. The International Monetary Fund is warning that the Iran war is likely to push global economic growth lower than last year to a 3.1% rate below a first predicted 3.3%. After years of financial struggles, Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts will close at the end of 2026. From GBH in Boston, Kirk Carapesa reports, the decision comes as hundreds of other private colleges face tough financial decisions.
The alternative liberal arts school with no grades or majors first opened in 1970. Hampshire leaders declined an interview request, saying they're focused on supporting the campus community amid news of the shutdown. Michael Horn is co-founder of the Clayton Christensen Institute, which has long predicted widespread college closures. He says declining enrollment shows Hampshire's offbeat profile wasn't selling with potential students.
While they had a unique value proposition, the market was pretty clearly telling them it was a unique value proposition that was not valued.
A new analysis from the Huron Consulting Group says more than a quarter of private nonprofit four-year colleges are at risk of closing within the next 10 years. For NPR News, I'm Kirk Carapesa in Boston.
Christie's auction house in Paris conducted a raffle offering the prize of $1 million Picasso portrait. 120,000 tickets were sold worldwide. Now a Parisian man has won a 1941 Picasso entitled Head of a Woman. Raffle proceeds go to Alzheimer's Research. It's the third one Picasso for 100 euros lottery, with previous raffles supporting cultural and humanitarian causes. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Wallace Foundation, an independent, nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.
Oh. Welcome into our Tuesday evening classical music. Steve Seal with you. And there's Brahms ahead, ostensibly quoting Haydn. It's an interesting story, and the music is even better sounding than it is interesting, actually. So we'll enjoy his Haydn variations later on. And the other big H here, Handel, Oboe Concerto No. 1, with Nicholas Daniel playing the oboe and John Rutter leading the City of London Sinfonia.
Thank you.
Nicholas Daniel playing his oboe with the City of London Sinfonia, John Rutter conducting. Oboe Concerto No. 1 by Handel.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from KU's Natural History Museum, hosting K-pop, Pollinator Palooza, family-friendly activities with butterflies, bees, and origami insects. Sunday, April 19th, 1:30 to 3:30. More at biodiversity.ku.edu. And Theodore Lawrence presenting Dial M for Murder, a noir-inspired suspenseful thriller showing April 17th through the 18th and 23rd through the 26th. Ticket information and more at theodorelawrence.com.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 82 and fair. Wind is from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the low 60s. Wind will be from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 82 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Alicia de la Rocha was considered one of the great piano legends of the 20th century. In fact, she was called once the greatest Spanish pianist in history. Fascinatingly, she was also a composer, and her own compositions don't get quite an airing, perhaps as often as they should. And here's a short one. It's called Sonata Antigua, played here by Yol Yum Son.
Thank you.
That is music by Alicia Della Rocha, a woman who was known for her interpretations of the music of others. And boy, was she, as one of the greatest classical pianists of the 20th century. But a little ditty by Alicia there, called Sonata Antigua, played by Yol Yum Son. From an antique sonata to a suite in old style. And this is from the British-Bulgarian contemporary composer Dobrinka Tabakova, played here by Maxim Rizanov and the Lithuanian Chamber Orchestra.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Suite in Old Style by the contemporary composer Dobrinka Tabakova. Played his viola and also handled the conducting duties with the Lithuanian Chamber Orchestra.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Sulis Auctions, presenting international works of art and cultural artifacts from the estate of a Kansas collector who moved to Tokyo, Japan in 1978. Details at MidwestArtAuction.com. And KU Theater and Dance, presenting The Laramie Project, about the murder of Matthew Shepard and its impact on a college town. April 24th through the 26th at Murphy Hall. Tickets at KUTheater.com.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 80 and fair. Wind is from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the low 60s. Wind will be from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 80 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Brahms Variations on a Theme by Haydn next, except these days we know that the theme that Brahms wrote his set of variations on was in fact not written by Haydn. Brahms didn't know that at the time, but in the intervening years, musical sleuthing has determined it was simply a melody that Haydn was quoting in his own music, not an original tune. Making this even messier is that we still don't know for sure who wrote the tune, but as names tend to stick, this work, even though sometimes it's referred to as the St. Anthony Chorale, is still usually referred to as Brahms' Haydn Variations.
Thank you.
Variations on a theme by Haydn by Johannes Brahms, also known as the St. Anthony Chorale, the Residente Orchestra of The Hague, led by Jan Willem de Vriend.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 80 and fair. Wind is from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the low 60s. Wind will be from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 80 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. There were fresh indications today that the U.S. and Iran are working toward resumed talks to avert new hostilities in the U.S.-Israel war on Iran. Meanwhile, U.S. Central Command says that no ships have gotten all the way through the Strait of Hormuz since a U.S. naval blockade was put in place Monday. One did go through, but turned back. At the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, Research Director Dana Stroll says the parties are at a point where everyone needs a closing deal.
They do need a deal. So does the United States. At the end of this war, as the fog clears from the damage, the problems that plagued Iran before the war are going to continue. They can't keep the lights on. They can't provide electricity. They've mismanaged their water. They can't protect their people. They can't stabilize their currency. And those problems are only going to compound as this naval blockade continues.
Dana Stroll at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. The International Energy Agency, representing the world's biggest energy consumers, is predicting that the conflict in Iran will cut into global oil demand this year. NPR's Camilla Domonoske explains.
The IEA still anticipates that the global appetite for oil will grow this year, but less than it expected before the war. That's because of supply shortages, higher prices, and direct impacts like the suspension of flights in the Middle East. In a similar report this week, the oil cartel OPEC, which represents oil producers, estimates that demand for oil would be unchanged for the year overall. The two groups often disagree. Neither body predicts a major hit to the global economy, although the IEA warns that if oil prices remain high for a protracted period, that would weigh on growth. Camila Domonoske, NPR News.
In his first act following his win of a majority government, Canada's Prime Minister Mark Carney has suspended his nation's fuel tax to compensate for the impact of the Iran war. Canada's fuel excise tax will be suspended from next Monday until Labor Day. There's more climate-warming methane coming from cities than governments have previously estimated, according to new research. NPR's Jeff Brady has details.
Methane is a potent greenhouse gas, and governments estimate emissions by taking inventories of sources such as landfills and gas utilities. But now scientists using satellites have generally found higher levels than those inventories. Eric Kort directs the Atmospheric Chemistry Department at the Max Planck Institute for Chemistry in Germany.
So this gap suggests that those methods are not accounting for the emissions growth properly, which then has implications for trying to understand where is the methane coming from and what is the best way to mitigate or reduce emissions.
More than 100 countries have agreed to reduce their methane pollution by 2030 as part of their climate pledges. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
This is NPR. Americans are getting bigger tax refunds. That is due, in large part, to the signature tax law passed by Republicans last year. But NPR's Stephen Bisaha reports that so far, few Americans are noticing the bump.
The average refund is about $350 more this year compared to the same time last year. And most filers should receive at least some bump, according to Andrew Lautz with the Bipartisan Policy Center. But the center surveyed Americans and found only 27% think last year's tax changes favor them.
We know that the vast majority of Americans are going to get a tax cut this year from this bill, but people don't perceive it as that, right?
Even among Republicans, only 35% said the tax changes favor them. Part of that could be because the White House projected average refunds around $1,000, not the $350 that's been the case so far. Stephen Bisaha, NPR News.
Tomorrow, Wednesday, April 15th, is the big day for U.S. taxpayers. You could be fined if you don't file on time, and you can file either electronically or through the mail. If you are filing by mail, here's what the Internal Revenue Service is expecting. Your envelope with its documents is considered to have been filed on time if you have used the right address, enough postage, a postmark date that is on or before the filing deadline to make sure your mail to the IRS is properly postmarked, the U.S. Postal Service recommends going into the post office during business hours and asking for a manual postmark at the counter. There's no extra charge for that. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org, and the listeners who support this NPR station. We'll be right back.
band led by bassist Nat Reeves, his new album called Now in Time, and a tune by a mentor to Nat Reeves, the late alto sax great Jackie McLean. And Nat had his total choice of musicians for this date, produced by Side Door Records. And he chose people he'd worked with over the years. Trombonist Steve Davis, he worked with Steve with Jackie McLean's band. Drummer Jeff Tane Watts, and he and Nat played in Kenny Garrett's band. Trombonist Steve Davis, I mentioned him. Trumpeter Eddie Henderson has worked with Nat a lot. Nat and Eric Alexander went on tour to Japan at least 20 times with Harold Mayburn. And pianist Orrin Evans had also worked with Nat. So he got his pick of musicians and picked the tunes. And it is a dandy new album, Nat Reeves, Now in Time. I'm Bob McWilliams. Bria Stoneberg up next. After that, the singer April Varner's new one. Bria's got a new one called Brass, and that reflects the fact that she's an outstanding singer and trumpeter, but she focused on trumpet on this new project. And she wrote this one, and it's called So It Goes.